Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And let's go back to last night's debate. We've talked about the substance in depth with Bill Adair of PolitiFact and with many of your calls earlier in the show, but that's not the whole story. Here's how Howard Dean previewed the debate on ABC This Week on Sunday.
The key to a debate, if you want to see how it moves the American people, is to turn off the sound. Watch the mannerisms. That is not what they say. I mean, there may be a zinger and that could change things, but it's not what they say. It is their mannerisms. It's how they come across.
So let's turn to the surface and the optics with Josh King, a corporate communications executive and former director of production for presidential events in the Clinton White House, who hosts a podcast now called Poly Optics. Welcome to WNYC, Josh King. Hello.
Good morning, Brian. Great to be with you.
So first things first, on the basis of optics, do you think anybody won last night's debate?
Yeah, very clearly. The debate is a very interesting format. The Commission on Presidential Debates has been using this set basically since 1988. Pauley Pavilion in Los Angeles, Dukakis v. Bush was the first time this set was used. The podiums are exactly the same. The backdrops are exactly the same. The camera angles are largely the same. And so if you were watching last night, Brian, you saw a split screen. It looks like President Obama and Governor Romney are standing almost shoulder to shoulder, zero space between their jacket sleeves. And so when one of them was talking, the other person, you see exactly what they're doing, even though they think they're 12 to 14 feet away and they can go about their business. And if you are in intense debate preparation, whether you're in Lake Las Vegas with President Obama or Wolfboro, New Hampshire with Governor Romney, you should be told over and over again that what you do when you're not talking matters a lot. Are you respectfully looking at what the other person is saying, or are you sort of shaking your head? You don't agree with it. You're a bit of you're going negative on what the other person is saying. So I think what you saw with Governor Romney, this is a format that suits him very well, that he's not going to allow himself to get distracted, make a lot of notes on paper, or show his cards while the other person is speaking. President Obama, on the other hand, seemed to be looking down a lot, making a lot of notes, and generally did not give that sort of, I'm President of the United States, and I can smile and listen respectfully. I'm bonding as much to the person who's not speaking as I am to the person who's speaking in the way that that show, that specific Commission on Presidential Debates production, is set forth to the American people.
Now, listeners, we're curious, how did you consume the debate? Did you turn your TV off at any point and just watch the body language after Howard Dean suggested that people do that on Sunday, and we had mentioned it on the show earlier in the week? Did you watch the split screen that Josh was just talking about to see how they reacted to each other? Or, this is radio, did you listen without video? We know some of you have radios and not televisions. Did you follow Twitter or a live chat while watching or listening? And so maybe you were looking at your social media screen part of the time and not looking at the television screen the whole time. Tell us how you followed the debate and if you think that affected your opinion of how it went. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show as we continue with Josh King, who runs the podcast Poly Optics, which looks at the optics of politics. And Josh, you know, the Daily Beast took Howard Dean's advice and got a body language expert to agree to watch the debate without sound and said the president looked measured and cool while Romney looked hyperactive and aggressive. I think that's the most generous analysis for the president that I've heard, but I guess people could see the same thing differently.
I'd have to agree, Brian. I think that people don't watch this debate only with the sound off. What we did see was a Romney who kept his head head up all the time, and Obama, who was, to me, a little bit more focused on what he was writing. And you said at the very outset, I worked for President Clinton for many years, and I'm voting for President Obama and hope he wins, but I like to call this the way I see it. And if you actually turn the sound up a little bit, too, you heard homespun aphorisms, a little gentle humor from Governor Romney, and you heard mostly data and numbers from President Obama. You also have to think about how you are telling a story to the audience in their living room. Very different in this debate than the primary debates where the audience was a factor. In this debate, the audience is conspicuously not a factor. They're trying to go back to 1960, Kennedy versus Nixon, which was just Don Hewitt, eventually the 60 Minutes producer, with two candidates and their aides in a sound studio, no audience whatsoever. These are very elite audience members who are deliberately instructed by Jim Lehrer, by Janet Brown, by Mike McCurry and Frank Fahrenkopf, the commissioners of the Presidential Debate Commission, to shut the heck up during the debate so that audience members are not in play. You're not even talking to the room because it's blacked out. You really, if you're being properly prepped for this debate, you're paying close attention to Jim Lehrer, but you're not addressing him directly. You are looking at that red tally light on the distant camera and trying to talk into people's living rooms. And it's a very different task, too, than what you're trying to do at a political convention when you do have 12,000 people in front of you that you're trying to gesture toward. Remember, President Clinton hardly made any eye contact with the TV camera at all, and that was one of the ways in which he had such a successful speech. So these things, all of these different formats in which candidates have to present themselves to the public at rallies, at roundtables, and at debates call for a different set of skills. And Romney seemed to perfect those skills last night, and Obama had trouble with them.
Maria in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hello, Maria.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Good. Jim moderated the debate. I'm the namesake, no relation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
It's Brian. How are you?
Hi, Brian.
So you turned off the sound last night for a while, I hear.
It's interesting that you mentioned both ways of watching the debate, because I did watch the whole debate, and I did both. I switched it off because I was just interested in concentrating on their body language, and I switched it back on. And I'm not going to tell you which candidate I'm going to vote, but it just made it clearer to me that who I'm going to vote for is the one I'm going to vote for.
Did you see it kind of the way our guest did?
Yes, actually. Yes.
Maria, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Here's Bob in Westchester, who I think saw it differently. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I started off watching CNN on the split screen. I channel surfed and tried it on a few of the other channels that were not and went back to CNN. For whatever reason, I drew exactly the opposite conclusion that your guest did. I found Governor Romney looking down a lot. I thought he looked a little annoyed and distracted. And my impression was the same as yours, Brian. I thought the debate was a draw. But I guess to a certain degree, for a reason that I thought Romney's body language was kind of negative.
Bob, thank you. And to some degree, Josh, people, of course, like who they like, and they don't like who they don't like. So, for example, I tweeted last night that I noticed watching the split screen that Romney in the reaction shots was smiling most of the time and Obama was frowning. And I didn't pass any judgment on it. I figured,
right,
you know, let people make their own judgments on whether that was good or bad or attractive or unattractive. Generally, I guess people took it as an assumption that it's more attractive to be smiling. And a few Obama supporters tweeted back right away, oh, yeah, that's not a smile. That's an arrogant smirk.
Well, I tell you, Brian, what one expected going into this, remember, these candidates themselves are a little out of practice debates. So are we as watchers. We haven't watched a presidential debate for 4 years. We're reminded that Kerry had a great first debate against Bush in 2004, that Reagan had a great debate versus
Mondale
in 1984 and against Carter in 80. And what I expected was that usual sort of it was a draw, and the candidates of both staffs coming out into the spin room to point out their strengths and weaknesses, and for the press reaction generally to be we move on without a unanimous conclusion, or at least a strong conclusion. Remember, Romney coming into this, Brian, had two strikes against him. The vice presidential pick was a little wasn't received the way he hoped it might be. The convention speech was a bit of a flop. This is going to be his third strike. Would he be out? In fact, I don't, taking away what Bob said, your last caller, I'm keeping my eye on social media. I'm reading all the press this morning, and I wouldn't have thought there would have been a conclusion, and yet there was.
And yet there was. Gail Collins, by the way, described Mitt Romney's expression when the president was talking as somewhere between a person who's trying to overlook an unpleasant smell and a guy who's trying to restrain himself from pointing out that his car is much nicer than your car. Ha ha. But, you know, what? One of the things, did this come from you, this idea that one of the reasons for Obama's apparent grimness was left over from 2008 when the campaign felt that he needed to appear up to the job of president and so not to smile too much and look like a lightweight?
Well, there's a fine line between that, Brian, and just looking like a genial, upbeat person who respects where your opponent has come to. That opponent has survived a gauntlet of dozens of debates and 2 years of campaigning, and now that person has arrived at their stage, and this is their chance. And look, that was the advantage for Governor Romney going in, that here's a person who had his own struggle in 2007-2008, persevered against Senator Clinton, against Senator McCain, won the White House, and for the last three and change years has been our president. And for anyone to be on the same stage at the same size podium with the same kind of lighting and the same backdrop is going to be elevated
equalizes
just by that fact.
Their stature. And, you know, to some degree, this idea that and by the way, it was Chris Cillizza in The Washington Post who attributed the president's grim demeanor to what he was trained to do in 2008. But I don't know. In a way, I think we in the media have instant amnesia, because on Sunday, everybody was running around the talk shows saying, oh, Romney is poised to do well in this debate because he's going to be up there for the first time with the president. So there's going to be that stature elevation. And generally, challengers do well in the first debate in these kinds of circumstances and raise their standing in the race a little bit. So everybody predicted this. And now everybody is so surprised that it happened.
Yeah. And Brian, and didn't Chris Christie be the one who is most out there predicting a total race turnaround as a result? And look, we don't know what will happen by the time we get to the Sunday shows, or how will Governor Romney translate this back to the stump. And it may turn back again, but Governor Christie looks prescient this morning. And yet the skills involved in a one-on-one debate, the way it was staged last night, are totally different from the next debate, which will be a town hall format, and to your usual stump speech. So having a conversation to a TV lens is very much similar to what Mitt Romney did as a Bain Capital leader in terms of practicing for a pitch, getting out and making it in a very small room where you can hear yourself talk, versus getting in front of 5,000 people and stirring them up, which President Obama is quite good doing, aided by teleprompter in the way he does his speeches.
Eric in Harding, New Jersey. You got about 20 seconds. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Brian. Hi, guest. I saw it visually. I turned off the sound, and it reminded me of Kennedy Nixon. It was that, that the difference was that big. I mean, just based on physical appearance, unfortunately, Obama he didn't even look physically well to me. Romney looked healthier to me. It was that dramatic, and I think we're going to look back on this and compare that to the Kennedy-Nixon debate.
Eric, thank you. Just tell me one thing before you go, because we just have a few seconds left, Josh. Earlier you said that Clinton was so effective at the Democratic convention, partly because he wasn't looking at the camera. I thought eye contact is supposed to be a good thing to relate to people.
Yeah, if you go back and look at that tape, he's making eye contact, but with everybody in the room, not necessarily like he's looking beyond them to the TV camera. So he is, the way he performed in Charlotte, recalling that Southern storytelling route as if he's sitting on a stump and looking left and looking right and talking to all the people gathered around the fire with him rather than understanding the artifice of the camera that's there.
We'll leave it there with Josh King, who hosts the podcast Polyoptics. Fascinating. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.